It's Monday night and time to talk football. Welcome to the High School Football Report, presented by Cass Birch Automotive. Now, here's your host, Chris Beckham.
Broadcasting live on this Monday night, live from the Citizens Community Bank Studios, this is the High School Football Report presented by Cass Birch Automotive. I'm Chris Beckham. Thanks for joining us on this fantastic Monday night as we'll spend the next hour talking about high school football in South Georgia. Lots to talk about tonight. First of all, we're going to tell you as we move past signing day, which was just now, just a couple of weeks ago, now we're going to start to take a closer look at the class of 2018. And just recently, RecruitGeorgia.com released their list of the top players in Georgia going into 2018, and there are a lot of South Georgia names on that list. We'll go over each position as we talk about some of the names you can look forward to seeing play this fall. We will also be joined by Barry Every. Barry is a recruiting expert and analyst from RecruitGeorgia.com. He's also very active on Twitter. And we'll be talking to Barry about some of the players that he saw that just signed to play college football in the signing class of 2017, and also some players that he likes that will be coming back this fall. We're also going to talk about, we talked a lot about coaching changes over the last few weeks, but the most surprising coaching news that broke last week from probably the highest profile coaching job right now in the state of Georgia, Jeff Heron's resignation at Grayson High School after winning a state championship. We'll tell you a little bit more about that. And also another unusual story from the recruiting period. A young man who had just about as good a season as you could possibly have at the highest profile position that there is, yet he saw very little recruiting love. That was until this weekend. We'll tell you about that story coming up as well. So lots to talk about on this Monday night. And as always, we appreciate you joining us again. We'll be back more as we broadcast live from the Citizens Community Bank Studios. This is the High School Football Report presented by Cass Birch Automotive. And we'll get it started right after this.
Stay tuned. The High School Football Report will be right back on News Talk 105.9 WVGA. And now, more of the High School Football Report, presented by Cass Birch Automotive. Here's Chris Beckham.
And back on the High School Football Report presented by Cass Birch Automotive on this Monday night as we broadcast live from the Citizens Community Bank Studios. Hey, remember, at Citizens Community Bank this year, they're kicking off the new year full of celebrations, celebrating 90 years of service to their communities. They've got many exciting things in store for you this year, starting with the monthly social media scavenger hunts, Find 90 and Get 90. For rules, clues, and more details, you can search for hashtag CCBFind90Get90 or hashtag CCBTurns90. That's on Instagram, on Facebook, and on Twitter. And you can start celebrating with them today. Of course, locations on North Philosta Road, Baytree Road, also in Morven, and in Hayhira. Citizens Community Bank is worldwide banking with decisions made by your neighbors every single day. RecruitGeorgia.com is a website that covers recruiting all across the state of Georgia. They do an outstanding job. And later on, we're going to be talking to Barry Every, who is a recruiting analyst and expert who does a lot of work for RecruitGeorgia.com. And as of this weekend, they released their list of their top players position rankings for the class of 2018. And as you can imagine, it is chock full of players from South Georgia. We're going to go position by position and tell you about how they feel about some of the returning players in South Georgia coming up in the fall of 2018. As you look at the quarterback position, Michael Barrett from Lowndes High School is the highest rated South Georgia quarterback on the list. Of course, Barrett, who has been getting offers from everybody from Georgia Tech to LSU and many others in between, had a fantastic junior season, turned a lot of heads. Of course, he also was on that Lowndes basketball team that made the state tournament as well. A great athlete and is in store for what we think is going to be a big fall in 2018. He's number five in the top-rated South Georgia quarterback. Two of the South Georgia quarterbacks on that list. Steven Trzuski is an interesting player over at Colquitt County. Now, he transferred down to Colquitt County prior to last year, played quarterback, did not start. Jay Saunders was the returning The player with the most returning experience, I should say, and he started all year for Rush Probst. Krzyzewski did play some wide receiver, and he will be the incoming starting quarterback. And now he has very little film as far as on the field to look at, but he's gone to camps. He's looked very well. He's a big kid, got a big arm, and they expect a lot of things. And, again, he's got a lot of players back. Remember, they're two freshmen where they're leading rushers this year. They got J.J. Peterson back, who mainly plays linebacker, although he does see some time at receiver as well. So, as usual, the coverage is pretty full over in Cockle County, and Stephen Krzyzewski is the 13th-rated quarterback in the state, according to RecruitGeorgia.com, and the second from South Georgia. Right behind him in 14th place is Tift County returning starter Griffin Collier. Now, Griffin started as a sophomore, left-handed kid, very productive, could run as well as throw, broke the school record in passing as a junior, and that's the career record now. He still has a whole other year to add to those statistics. Griffin is a fantastic quarterback, real smart kid, son of a coach, and is kind of that prototypical son of a coach, kind of a gym rat and does everything well. And he is a very good quarterback for Ashley Anders up at Tift County. And so he is 14th, according to their rankings in the state, and the third from South Georgia. Now, when you look at running backs, it begins and ends with Damian Pierce, the big, strong running back from Bainbridge High School. Very highly recruited. He committed to Alabama very early on before his junior season. Was a little bit banged up. This junior season didn't have quite the numbers that he had had as a sophomore. But if he's healthy, he is one of the best around. And according to Recruit Georgia, the best around. And I know Jeff Littleton, the head coach at Bainbridge, is certainly glad that Damian Pierce has one more year in that purple Bearcat uniform. Number 11 on the statewide list, and the second running back from South Georgia, is Cook High's Brandon Doe, the state's leading rusher last year, and of course he'll be back for his senior season. Brandon Doe gets it done against everybody. They played 7A teams. They played teams in other higher classifications. They played in a very tough region, and he just produced every single time they played. He's a very productive back for the Cook High Hornets and for Bobby Jones up in Adel. Number 21 on the list is a name that you've heard a little bit about around here. Has not really gotten any statewide attention until being on this list. Jonathan White is 21st in the state, then the third from South Georgia. Jonathan plays for Brooks County for Coach Freeman. The only slight against Jonathan White is he is 5'8", 190 pounds. He runs very hard and has always got speed. I think everybody who dons a Brooks County uniform seemingly has a lot of speed, and Jonathan White does. His height is the only thing really holding him back, but he is I think he could be set for a great senior season this fall. When you look at wide receivers, Trey Brown from Macon County, which is a little bit out of our area, but Trey Brown, 6'3", 190. He's 11th in the state, according to their rankings. The question about Trey Brown is he had a fantastic junior season. Kari Lane was his quarterback, who had an unbelievably productive senior season at quarterback. Now that Kari Lane is gone, will Trey Brown have those same types of numbers for the Macon County Bulldogs? 28th in the state, and the second receiver from South Georgia is Rashad Bateman, who plays for Tift County, 6'2", 170, currently on that Tift County basketball team that's making quite a run through the state tournament. Rashad Bateman, as a matter of fact, today is in Mobile, Alabama on his official visit to South Alabama. They have offered him. I know Southern Miss has offered him, Georgia Southern as well. He committed to Georgia Southern early on. He's now backed off that commitment and going to look around a little bit. He's a big-time playmaker for the Blue Devils. Tavon Kyle from Lowndes High School is number 29th in the state, third on this list from South Georgia. Very productive for the Vikings last year. He and Michael Barrett will hook up time and time again, I'm sure, this fall. Daron Donaldson from Coffee High School. He's a big kid, 6'3", 185. Made a lot of tough catches for the Trojans this year. He's 33rd on the list and fourth from South Georgia. And fifth from South Georgia, TJ Ming. He's another big one, 6'3", 190 from Crisp County High School. Shelton Felton has a lot of good players coming back off of that great season that he had this past fall. Big guys up front, offensive tackles. Jalen Strickland is number 7 in the state, number 1 from South Georgia. He's from Ware County, 6'6", 310. He is massive. Used to play some defense, now got him an offensive tackle, and he looks very good. Another big, tall kid just behind him, 8th in the state, and 2nd from South Georgia is Jalen Goss from Lowndes High School. Again, 6'7", 255. You could put some more weight on him, but he is a great skill technique for the Lowndes Vikings, and he's going to look very good there at that tackle position. And right behind him, and number 9th in the state and 3rd in South Georgia, is Chess Jackson. He's a big guy, 6'5", 270 from Tift County High School. I know Chess has been getting offers. He actually spent some time down at Florida State this past weekend. He has also gotten an offer from South Alabama, from Jacksonville State, from Georgia Southern, and others. So Chess Jackson is another key component of that Blue Devil offense, which comes back this fall. The interior linemen, we're talking about guards and tackles. DeAndre Hill is a big kid from Houston County, 6'4", 325. He's number three on the list, the number two from South Georgia. Christian Meadows is number one in the state as far as interior linemen, also from Macon County, 6'3", 330. I believe he is committed to Florida State. And Griffin McDowell from Lee County, 6'4", 270, plays inside for Coach Dean Fabrizio. He's 16 on the list and number three from South Georgia. Then they have a category just for athletes, guys you could put in a lot of different places. Number two in the state and number one from South Georgia is Fitzgerald quarterback James Graham, 6'1", 170. He can fly. He's been the starter since his freshman year. He has offers from a lot of big-time schools, and I don't know exactly where he will fit in at the collegiate level. That's why they have him listed as an athlete. Just behind him, number fourth in the state, two from South Georgia, is his teammate, Montrell Harris. 6'2", 185, plays some receiver, plays some defense. Charles McClellan, eighth in the state and third from South Georgia. Clinch County, he plays running back, played a little quarterback, 6'1", 180. He can make plays all over the field. Number 12th in the state as far as athletes, according to RecruitGeorgia.com, Jace Rogers from Valdosta High School, mainly a defensive back. Now, he did see some time in the backfield for Coach Rodemaker this year, spelling some guys whenever they were banged up a little bit, and Jace made some big plays. He is a great return guy as well. And finally, from America, Sumter High School, 17th in the state and 5th from South Georgia, A.J. Payne, who is from America, Sumter, 6'1", 193. Let's take a look at defense on the defensive end side. Another Clinch County Panther, John Mincy, is the eighth-ranked defensive end in the state and first from South Georgia, 6'4", 260 pounds. Also, Camden County's Jamie Hill is 24th in the state and second from South Georgia. He is 6'2", 225 for the Camden County Wildcats. Of course, they've got a new coach over there as Bob Spire will take over that Camden County program, and certainly we'll be glad to see Jamie Hill line up at defensive end. Big guys inside on defense, Derek Newton from Coffee High, the number one guy from South Georgia, 6'1", 255. He's 12th in the state. Jaleel Taylor, 13th in the state and second from South Georgia. He's from Crisp County High School, 6'1", 285. And Kieran Smith from Fitzgerald is third from South Georgia, 16th in the state. Again, 6'1", 295 for the Purple Hurricanes. Maybe the biggest position, the most talent in South Georgia is at outside linebacker. Five of the top seven in the state are from our area. Quay Walker at Crisp County is number one, 6'4", 210. Otis Reese, he's already committed to Michigan from Lee County. He's 6'2", 200. Fourth in the state, J.J. Peterson from Colquitt County, 6'2", 210. He's been offered by everybody. Number five in the state is Jacoby McLean from Valdosta High School, 6'2", 200. Led that Wildcat defense to a state championship. And the Ware County Gators, Ernest Jones, 6'2", 205. He's starting to get a lot of looks. I know he's been offered by Georgia Tech as well. And also Kendrick Wade, another one of those Brooks County guys that can fly to the football. He's 6'1", 90. He is the sixth player from South Georgia at outside linebacker. He is rated number 26 in the state. At inside linebacker, Quentin Jones from Thomasville is the top South Georgia player. He's eighth in the state, 6'2", 205 for Coach Grage's Bulldogs. Also, Jamian Gaskins from Coffee High School, a little on the short side of 5'11", 220, but he is a hitting machine. He is the second inside linebacker from South Georgia and 14th overall in the state. Finally, in the defensive backfield, another Thomasville Bulldog, Charlie Thomas, is the fifth-ranked safety in the state of Georgia and the top one from South Georgia, 6'2", 195 for the Bulldogs. Dan Land III, well-known name, his dad played in the NFL, played at Albany State. Dan Land III is at Westover High School, 6'2", 185. Lee County's T.J. Harris is 12th in the state at 6'1", 190. Camden County's Jeremiah Compton, 5'11", 180. Colquitt County's Caleb Dawson at 5'11", 170. He's 21st ranked in the state. And finally, another Lee County Trojan, Kermit Solomon, 6'2", 165. So along with T.J. Harris, Coach Dean Fabrizio has two of the top 30 safeties in the state of Georgia, and that's got to make him feel pretty good coming into the 2018 season. Now, just because we didn't mention a player here and there, again, these rankings rank the top 200 or so in the state. A lot of good players in South Georgia that we did not name. And again, with a big-time productive senior season, a lot of other players will put themselves in front of recruiters and have their phone ringing after this fall. I can assure you that. We'll take another quick break and come right back. We're going to be talking to Barry Every, a man who put together those rankings for RecruitGeorgia.com. He'll be joining us right after this. So stay tuned as we broadcast live from the Citizens Community Bank Studios. This is the High School Football Report presented by Cash Birch Automotive, and we'll have more right after this.
Stay tuned. The High School Football Report will be right back on News Talk 105.9 WVGA. Now, more of the High School Football Report, presented by Cass Birch Automotive. Here's Chris Beckham.
Once again, broadcasting live from the Citizens Community Bank Studios on this Monday night. It's the High School Football Report, presented by our friends at Cass Birch Automotive. As we were talking about the recruiting rankings for some of the players for 2018, one gentleman who has seen a lot of those and is very integral in putting those rankings together for Recruit Georgia is recruiting analyst and expert Barry Every, and he joins us tonight. Barry, how are you?
I'm doing great, Chris. How about yourself?
Doing great. I really appreciate your time. I know you get to see a lot of players. Obviously, with signing day, you were very busy over the last several weeks as 2017 class signed. There were a lot of good ones in South Georgia. As signing day came, and now that it has come and gone, who were some of the guys who you saw last fall and over the last couple of years that you think could really make an impact coming into their college careers?
Well, people that I actually saw in person play, because I've seen them all, at least on film, the guy that really stuck out to me was Aubrey Solomon from Lee County. Just a giant defensive tackle at 6'4½", about 295 pounds, had a dominating senior season. Somehow he's going to Michigan. I don't know how that happened, Chris. But that's a hard position to find, a guy that's that athletic and that big, to play inside. And I really think it's a position, of need at every college. I mean, that's the hardest position to find.
Yeah,
and I think he'll have a chance to show out early. I'm also, really impressed with J.D. King of Fitzgerald. I know you guys have talked about him a lot because he ran for just a few yards over the last couple of years. He's a guy that had multiple offers but didn't get a lot of the SEC attention, at least from the Eastern schools, and he ended up going to Oklahoma State. And what stands out about J.D. King is he's the type of guy you would think if linebackers hit him in the mouth, he would slow down. It just made him angrier. It made him run harder. And most backs that are like that like to wear you out, they don't have great hands. Well, J.D. King was one of the top receiving targets the last 2 years for Fitzgerald. So I really think he has a chance to make an impact. And then, just outside the area, but I know a lot of people down in Valdosta got to see this gentleman this past season. I have to talk about Jake Fromm from Houston County.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I've seen him as a sophomore, I saw him as a junior, and I saw him back-to-back this year versus Lee County and Coffey. And he really – the thing that people got to realize about Jake Fromm, this is one tough kid.
Mm-hmm.
He was – I saw him physically beaten by Lee County and Coffey. I mean, he was hit so many times between those two teams. But he got up every time, and, he kept his team in the game, and he's just a real leader, and he's the first guy. I saw him, the last game I saw him was the Coffey game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he got sacked like six times in that game. He's the first guy in line when they're shaking hands at the end of the game. He can barely walk, but he's the first guy in line shaking every player on Coffey's hand.
Yeah, he's...
And it just shows you a little about – now, as a quarterback, I've already talked with some people up in Athens. Not talking coaching staff. We're talking other recruiting services. And I don't want Georgia fans to get overly excited. But I will go on record and say I'd be a little shocked that by the end of his true freshman year that he is not the starting quarterback for the University of Georgia.
Well, Barry, that was going to be my question because I think the thought, because there was so much made of Jacob Eason last year, is that Jake Fromm would go up there, maybe redshirt, and then when Jacob Eason's career was done, that he would step in. But I've heard more and more folks say exactly what you're saying, that he's going to give Jacob Eason a real run for his money. And, of course, I think Eason, being a true freshman and stepping in as a starter with an offensive line that didn't give him a whole lot of help, but still there's some thought now that Fromm was so impressive during his senior year that that he's got the tools, and of course he's already enrolled up there, correct?
Yeah, he's going to be able to go through spring ball. You know, Easton's going to have the upper hand because he's been there. But I'm sure that Coach Smart's probably going to leave the door open and tell him this is an open competition. Because let's face it, Coach Smart's paid to win football games. Mm-hmm. He's not paid to, you know, pander to, well, we recruited you this year and recruited him the year after that. They're paid to win football games. And the thing about Jake Fromm, he's a smart kid, stand-up citizen, and he's a winner, not just in football, but in you know, baseball. Look at his baseball accolades. Helped his team last year win the state championship in baseball. And then was he not on one of the Warner Robins Little League World Series championship teams?
That's right. Yeah. Heck of an athlete.
I'm talking about a winner.
Yeah.
That's playing high school football at a much, much higher level than Jacob Easton. And, yeah. And I've been to Washington, and I've done games out there, and there are players out there.
Mm-hmm.
But you know the Region 1-6A, the Region of Doom. I mean, they don't have that in Washington.
Yeah, it's and when you can go through this region, of course, Houston County not making the playoffs. But I never heard anybody say that really hurt his recruiting at all, because people knew what they were getting with Jake Fromm, and it's going to be really interesting to see what kind of a push he gives Jacob Easton coming into the season, as you say.
Yeah, I mean, and then injuries could play into it too. You just don't know. But I just think he's so smart. His football IQ is off the chart. He's got such a quick release. You know, I heard some analysts comparing him to Aaron Murray. I don't see that. I see him more of a Matthew Stafford style quarterback than I do Aaron Murray. So, he's got great mechanics, quick release, but don't be surprised if he's rolling out and he decides he's going to Brett Favre and throw a sidearm, because he's got that kind of arm.
Again, we're joined tonight by high school football recruiting analyst and expert Barry Every. You can follow Barry on Twitter at BV Every, EVERY. Again, he does a lot of recruiting work for Recruit Georgia, also Southern Pigskin. And, again, seeing a lot of players who are now getting ready to face just what those players that you just mentioned, the Aubrey Solomons and the Jake Fromms and the J.D. Kings, what they face during their senior season. A lot of doors will be knocked on. We've seen some already commit early, a few here and there, and one that I want to talk about that has really turned the heads of a lot of coaches over the last year, the running back from Bainbridge, Damian Pierce.
Yeah, Bainbridge is very isolated. I you know, living in Douglas, getting over there, I haven't been able to do it. I thought I was going to be able to see them play at Thomas County Central this year, but it didn't work out. But I've watched this film. I've loved him since the sophomore. I think he's the top running back in the state of Georgia. I think there's Damian Pierce, and then there's a big gap, and there's everyone else.
He commit.
I don't think it's a strong year in the state at the running back position.
Mm-hmm.
And Damian Pierce is head and shoulders, to me, the guy that's a difference maker that's going to wear out defenses in the second half. And I haven't seen it personally, but I've been told by reliable sources he's a high character kid with good grades.
Yeah, and of course he committed to the University of Alabama pretty early on, and there's a lot that can happen. Obviously, in the next 12 months, Barry, you've seen guys take visits and have their head turned. We saw it with Aubrey Solomon, who committed to Michigan and backed off, and he eventually went back to the Wolverines. But Damian Pierce, even though he has committed to Alabama, I'm sure that phone's not going to stop ringing.
No, you really think Coach Smart's going to let someone from Bainbridge just get away
Alabama
for nothing? Exactly. I mean, he played there. And I know he probably has close ties to the community still, and I'm sure, you know, once they do their full evaluation of the running back talent in Georgia, they're going to realize we got to get him from Alabama. Now, whether that happens or not, I have no idea. And I wouldn't be surprised if a school like Florida State really tries to get involved, you know, because Florida State's right on the doorstep of Bainbridge, so
right.
Tallahassee. I wouldn't count out other people making big pushes for him.
Of course, a lot of other programs who are really loaded up, but one that you mentioned to me, and I know it includes a fantastic outside linebacker named Quay Walker. Crisp County, who, of course, had a great year in 2016. Shelton Felton has a lot of great players returning up in Cordele for this coming fall.
Yeah, I got to be honest with you. I told everybody I saw him play Brooks County. And the Brooks County Crisp game came down to a last-second field goal, if you recall, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Crisp never had a lead, and then they kicked like a 27-yard field goal with like 12 seconds to break the hearts of the Trojans. Great game, but defensively, oh, they're loaded. They had Big Cat, you know, Bryant, you know, just signed with Auburn, who was a senior. You know, then you got Quay Walker, and I'll be honest with you, Big Cat Bryant was the one with 27, 30 offers or whatever, and Walker was sitting at like 9, he's a year younger, 9 or 10. And I told many people when I walked away from there, this is not a knock on Bryant as a player. I said, personally, as a prospect, I think Walker is the better of the two because he moves better in space. Mm. So he can play outside linebacker, in my opinion, or play defensive end. So he's got more versatility. He also plays receiver slash tight end for them. And he had a catch in the game I went to. So he's got good ball skills for a big guy. And he can break down in space. That's the difference. Bryant is more of a Jadeveon Clowney type player where he's a straight up pass rusher, which, hey, everybody's got to have him.
That's right.
NFL's drafting him, you know, in the first round every year, multiple guys. They need pass rushers, but Walker's the guy that can move in space. So, and he's not the only one. They had two sophomores that really stood out. Jamie Robinson, who played running, who was their leading rusher, but one of their top tacklers. And then possibly the leading tackler in the state of Georgia, Adarius Gee. I'm not sure how you pronounce it, Gee or Gee.
Mm-hmm.
I think he finished the season with like 190 tackles.
Wow.
And they're legit. I was at the game. I keep my own tackle chart mm-hmm. on the players that I'm watching, and he was all over the field. He's sort of a tweener, hybrid safety linebacker guy, but he's only a sophomore.
Wow.
And he's a heat-seeking missile. I mean, they're loaded defensively. If Chris County, if they can bring that sophomore quarterback along who's got a lot of talent, they are going to be very good next year. I mean, better than they were this year.
Wow, and that's saying a lot, obviously, as they went off to that 13-0 start before losing in the playoffs. Again,
yeah, that's the best season in school history.
That's exactly right, and maybe prepared for another run at it. A couple of other players I find really interesting, and the first one that jumps to mind is a young man I know you're very familiar with up at Fitzgerald, James Graham. He plays quarterback for the Purple Hurricanes. You have him listed as an athlete. I know he's gotten a lot of offers already. And how do most colleges see him, Barry, the ones that you talk to? How do you feel like how they see James Graham in the future?
I mean, he can play quarterback at the next level. It would have to be in an offense that's a little more run-oriented, I believe, because mm-hmm. he has developed as a passer, but he still has a ways to go, in my opinion. He would fit more into a Georgia Tech, or if you remember how they used Nick Marshall at Auburn.
Sure.
Even though they ran the spread, they really ran power running game out of it. I just think he's a tremendous all-around athlete. He won the region 100 meters as a freshman.
Yeah. And that's a pretty good region. The Thomasvilles and the Brooks counties, that's a early counties,
yeah,
pretty good region.
It's not like he's in a league with no athletes.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay? And track isn't his forte. Football is. Mm-hmm. And I remember the first time I saw him play, I went up and talked to Coach Strickland, who's now moved on to Pierce County.
Mm-hmm.
I go, Coach, I got nothing against J.D. King. I love J.D. King. But James Graham is the best athlete on this entire team, on this football field.
He's
been hampered with ankle injuries. Unfortunately, it was still bothering him in the state championship game the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
He got hurt this year versus Tiff and missed almost, you know, he played on one leg. And the year before, he got hurt in that heartbreaker where they had four chances from the one to beat Brooks, and they lost.
Yeah.
He got injured in that game, and that's my one concern is ankle. But I think he would make a great safety, a great receiver, just something where he's getting the ball, because when he hits the scene, he is gone. I mean, he is gone.
Yeah. Again, when you look at your quarterback rankings, again, I urge folks to go to Recruit Georgia. It's a fantastic website for recruiting throughout the state of Georgia, but certainly a lot of South Georgia names on there as well. And as I was looking at your rankings, and we just went over them in the previous segment, Michael Barrett, quarterback at Lowndes. A lot of people around here had seen Michael Barrett come up through a junior high and everything and knew what a special talent he was. But, boy, he really broke on the scene last year, had a phenomenal year statistically, and led the Vikings to a great year. You have him listed as the top quarterback, number 5 in the state of Georgia, the top quarterback in South Georgia. What is it when you see Michael Barrett on film, Barry, that you like so much about him?
Well, I'm gonna leak a little something out. I just handed it in to J.D. Walt, the owner and the editor of RecruitGeorgia.com. He's actually going to be moving up to number 11 overall in South Georgia. And just to let the people know, if you haven't told them, my version of South Georgia is larger than your radio coverage.
Right.
It's pretty much Warner Robins all the way to the Florida border, and it includes Savannah and Columbus. And the reason I did that, as you know, Chris, I've done a South Georgia high school football poll the last 4 years. There's just not enough 7A, 6A, and 5A teams if I don't include the Warner Robins school.
Sure.
So I have to go a little. And now that, you know, Houston County and Northside and Warner Robins are in that region with Coffee and Valdosta, it sort of fits.
Yeah.
So I want people to think, oh, you only got him ranked 11th. We're talking about a large chunk.
Mm-hmm.
On average, in any given year, that region of Georgia that I just mentioned produces about 40 FBS players.
Mm-hmm.
And right now I got him, he's going to move up to number 11. And here's the crazy thing, Chris. I know you guys have watched him when he was young. You know, I try to do a lot of research. What position did he play for Lowndes as a sophomore?
He played all over the place.
He played a lot of linebacker.
Yeah, that's right.
So you know he's a tough nut, you know. And he's got a strong arm. He's mobile. And so many colleges are going to that type of quarterback that can sling it around. They can make unscripted yards. Defensive coordinators pull their hair out over quarterbacks that can make what they call unscripted yards.
Mm-hmm.
That means it wasn't called, yet they still made 10, 15, 20 yards. And I think he brings that to the table. Where does he fit in? Personally, if I was Auburn and I'm still going to run that offense, he's the guy I'm going to go for. I know Georgia Tech's making a big push for him. You know, the one thing Michael's going to have to realize, if he goes to Georgia Tech, 10 times is going to be maximum that he puts the ball in the air.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the reality.
Exactly.
Unless they change the offense, but I doubt they're going to do that.
I doubt they're going to do that either. Yeah, I think he's set up for a great senior year. And as we talk about this, you know, looking at the rankings, there are some guys who have great numbers coming back. There's some guys who have shown out at camps and things like that. How do you, when you put all this information together, is there, you know, how do you approach that, Barry? Because I know there are certain things. I was looking at the quarterback rankings. Stephen Krzyzewski, the quarterback at Cockle County, who did not start last year, but obviously he's a good-looking prospect, big kid. He's looked great at camps. And so there's a lot of different factors, I guess, you've got to take into consideration.
Yeah, well, I don't normally go on hearsay. I was able to do the Coffee County versus Coffee scrimmage this year,
mm-hmm.
which was just before the start of the season. And they played three quarters just like a real game. There was kicking, live extra points, live everything. And, you know, I got to see him warm up, and you got to love his size.
And
he might have been more talented than the kid that played ahead of him that started this year, but he didn't know the offense, he didn't know the system, he didn't know the players around him, and I think Coach Probst did the right thing going with the senior. I'm expecting a huge year because what I'm hearing out of Coffee is they're loaded with underclassmen. Their leading rusher this past year was a freshman.
Freshman, that's right. Yeah.
And so, you know, what goes into it, Chris? This is how I look at it. Film is probably the most important thing.
Mm-hmm.
You got to watch the film. Obviously, camps, I think camps are important. You know, I hear people all the time say, well, they're just wearing shorts and T-shirt. I agree with you, but they have this thing called the NFL Combine. What are they wearing at the NFL Combine?
Shorts and T-shirts, exactly.
And try to tell me that doesn't play into where guys are drafted. It plays a big role. Well, camps are the same way. But how I go about it, I look at it as if I'm like an NFL team, if I have to draft players, if I had to draft, what order would I draft them in? If I could draft them all, what order would I take them?
Hmm.
I'm not one that normally, you'll see in North Georgia, my number one player right now is the quarterback from Cartersville.
Sure.
I normally do not want a quarterback that high. I want the harder bodies to find, the outside linebackers, the defensive ends, the defensive tackles, the offensive tackles. Those are the hardest bodies to find. They're rare. I mean,
right.
just go to Valdosta High School right now and walk the hallways and see the height and the size of regular normal people, and it's like some of these kids are freaks of nature. I mean, yeah. One guy that I'm moving up, and he's another guy that made a position change from the same school as Michael Barrett, is Jalen Goss.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a defensive end. He was 6'7", 230. Now he's 6'7", 255, 260. I haven't met him in person. I'd love to see what he looks like, his frame and all that. Mm-hmm. But you can't coach 6'7".
That's right.
You can't coach him. Length. So he, you know, and I know Ware County got a lot of Gator fans that probably listen to your show.
Mm-hmm.
Another guy that's starting to move up, I really like the potential, Jalen Strickland from Ware County.
Big kid.
6'6". He had to play defensive line as a sophomore. I got to see him. And I was sitting or standing at the game with a gentleman who does that region of the state for In the Game magazine.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, yeah, he's not a very good defensive lineman. And I go, yeah, but that I can tell you right now, that's not what he's going to play in college. And lo and behold, the next year he's playing offensive tackle on that Gator wing T attack. And he's picking up offers. And those are just hard bodies to find.
Yeah.
So that's really how I go about it, you know. 5'8", 5'9", running backs and athletes, I don't want to put any of them down because obviously you see them play on Saturdays and they make impact,
mm-hmm.
but they're a dime a dozen. You can go to any camp. Let's say there's 200 kids. There's going to be a plethora of 5'8", 5'9" guys. There isn't going to be a whole bunch of 6'6" guys at that camp.
That's right.
And so, I mean, that's how I look at it. And I also look at it the same way the NFL does. I mean, what players usually get drafted the highest? Well, you know, offensive tackles, defensive ends,
mm-hmm.
defensive tackles, outside linebackers that can rush the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the hardest guys to find. So I give those guys maybe a little more credit than I probably should. But the bottom line is that they have they're the hardest, not only the hardest bodies, but they're the ones that can have the biggest impact. And let's face it, Chris. We all love stats. I mean, Lyles put up points like no other school in team history. Am I correct?
That's right.
But the bottom line is you don't win games without the trenches.
And, again, I think
the trenches win football games.
And I think that goes back to the very first thing that you said and why so many people were so impressed with Aubrey Solomon, because from that position, and I think we saw it a couple years ago with Trenton Thompson, who has gone on to play very well for Georgia Bulldogs, when you can find a playmaker, not just somebody who eats up blocks, but a guy who can make plays or who can put pressure on the quarterback and get in the backfield from the defensive tackle position, those players are very rare, and that's why so many people were after Aubrey Solomon. And there's more coming this year, yeah.
I'm glad you brought up Trent Thompson. You can go to look at one recruiting service or recruiting site or whatever, and they list, you can see players' heights are not always the same. I have actually physically seen Trenton Thompson and Aubrey Solomon stand side by side, and Aubrey Solomon is bigger than Trenton Thompson.
Wow. Yeah. And can move.
He's tall. He's taller.
Yeah. And he's some kind of special.
And I have nothing against Trenton Thompson. I got to see him play this senior year, and you know, Westover had a killer defense that mm-hmm. year, and he played a huge role.
Again, Barry Every joining us. Follow him on Twitter, BV Every at Twitter. You can also see their work at Recruit Georgia. It's a great website. They cover recruiting all across the state of Georgia like nobody else. And so follow them. And, of course, Barry, we always appreciate your time, and we look forward to maybe having you back maybe before the season starts to get some previews of what we're looking forward to this fall. But you guys do a really, really great job. And, of course, on our Friday night show, we follow you guys like crazy, and it makes our job a lot easier. So thanks for what you do.
Hey, the only thing I'd say in closing is our goal is to help the state of Georgia, the players, get exposed. Not just, I mean, everybody wants to play in the SEC or Florida State, ACC. Colleges all around the country are starting to come to Georgia, just like they do Florida. And our goal, Dave Ewalt, the owner of RecruitGeorgia.com and myself, we want to pass California, who has five times the population.
Mm-hmm.
With the number of D1 signees a year. And give you an example, the class of 2016, California produced 227 FBS signees, and Georgia produced an all-time high of 207.
Wow.
This is a state that has five times the population of Georgia, and we want to pass them. We want to become number three, only behind Texas and Florida.
Well, again, the talent's there, and you guys do a great job of getting the word out, Barry. So, again, thanks for what you do, and we'll look forward to talking with you again soon.
All right. Thank you, Chris.
Barry Avery again. Follow him on Twitter. Check out recruitgeorgia.com, and you'll be up to date with everything going on in high school football. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be back with more of the High School Football Report as we broadcast live from the Citizens Community Bank Studios on this Monday night. High School Football Report brought to you by Cass Birch Automotive returns right after this.
Stay tuned. The High School Football Report will be right back on News Talk 105.9 WVGA. Now, more of the High School Football Report, presented by Cass Birch Automotive. Here's Chris Beckham.
And back on the High School Football Report on this Monday night, brought to you by Cass Birch Automotive as we broadcast live from the Citizens Community Bank Studios on this Monday night. Stop by and see my great friends at Cass Birch Automotive. Great deals going on right now. Have you seen that 2017 Ram 1500 Bighorn Crew Cab? Again, fantastic deal going on right now. Offer ending on February the 28th. The average $11,150 in total values. Hurry in for a great deal now. Hey, it's Truck Month at Cass Birch. You can go by and see them on North Valdosta Road. And right there, equipment as well. If you're looking for a great deal, Cass Birch has got one for you today. Now, of course, we talk a lot about high school football, as you can imagine, on the High School Football Report. But this is in the middle of the High School State Basketball Tournament. Round one was this past weekend. Round two coming up this week. We still got a lot of South Georgia teams that are vying in action. Real quick to run down the schedule. Tift County at home against Berkmar. Colquitt County, Andy Harden got the Packers with their first state playoff win since the 1950s. They're going to be traveling to Norcross. Also, Valdosta at Tri-Cities. Langston Hughes at Lee County. Coffey at South Paulding. And also Northside Warner Robins at Pope. Hey, that region swept the first round of the tournament, just like they did in football as well. Westover at Sandy Creek, Lovett at Crisp County, Thomasville at Chattooga, Rockmart at Early County, Manchester at Clinch, Wilcox at Montgomery County, Towns Creek at Calhoun County, and Hawkinsville at Turner County on the boys' side. On the girls' side, Colquitt County will host Brookwood. Valdosta will be at Northview. Cook High's Lady Hornets at Greater Atlanta Christian. Dawson County at Monroe. Berry and at Model. Our Murchie's going to be at Fitzgerald. Turner County at Telfair. We got Wilcox County at Woodville Tompkins, Lanier County at Pelham, and Terrell County at Greenville. On the girls' side, dates and times are different for every school, so check that out and get in some great basketball action this week. Two surprising stories over the past week. Number one is we talk about the quarterback at Macon County. Kari Lane had as good of a high school football season as you could possibly have at quarterback. And there were other quarterbacks on signing day. We saw Davis Mills sign with Stanford. Jake Fromm, of course, signing with Georgia. Chase Bryce, the Grayson quarterback, signing with Clemson. Bailey Hockman from McEachern, he's going to Florida State. But nowhere on that list was Kari Lane, and he had a better year than all of them. Led his Macon County Bulldogs to a state championship win, 35-0 over McIntosh County Academy. He set the state record for a total number of touchdowns passing in a season with 56. He also threw for 3,733 yards. And here's an incredible statistic. 56 touchdowns and one interception. I don't remember anybody with that kind of ratio, touchdowns, interceptions. With all that, he only had one college offer, and that was to Grambling. And Grambling's a great school. But you would think, with all of these other quarterbacks going to Stanford, Georgia, Clemson, Florida State, somewhere along the line, Kari Lane should have gotten a big-time offer. But it didn't come until this past week. Kari Lane was offered and accepted and signed a football scholarship to play quarterback at the University of Arizona with the Wildcats and head coach Rich Rodriguez. I was glad to see this because the only thing that I could think of, Kari Lane's not the biggest guy in the world. He's about 6'1", which is plenty tall enough to play college quarterback. The only thing that I could really think of is that he is a quarterback at a single-A school. Now, other quarterbacks at single-A schools signed scholarships this year. Trey Bishop from over in Terrell County signed to play with the University of Georgia Bulldogs, but he is not going to play quarterback at Georgia. And my only guess is that when recruiters saw him at a small school against lesser competition, they thought, well, maybe he's just not playing anybody too tough, and maybe that's just not exactly what we're looking for. But I'm glad that it came along. Arizona, Pac-10 school, an outstanding school. He'll get a chance to play there. And again, after the kind of senior season he had, state championship wins, state record in passing touchdowns, think of all of the great quarterbacks in the history of the state of Georgia who have gone on to fame in college and the NFL and Hall of Fames. I'm talking some of the greatest quarterbacks in the history of the game came from right here in the Peach State. None of them threw for as many touchdowns as Kari Lane did this year, 56 and only one interception. I've not seen Kari Lane play in person. I have seen him on film. He's got a big-time arm. The folks who I know who have seen him play in person say, wow, he lights it up and can throw it all over the field. So, again, glad he is going to get that opportunity to play at the University of Arizona. And don't be surprised if in the little town of Montezuma, Georgia, you start to see some of those blue Arizona Wildcat jerseys being worn. And hopefully he'll get an opportunity and cash in on that opportunity, obviously to get his education paid for at the next level and also to throw some touchdowns out there for the Arizona Wildcats. The other very interesting story, and we've kind of been hinting at this. Actually, we have not been hinting at it because we did talk about this right after the season ended. But Jeff Heron surprised everyone last week as he left his head coaching position at Grayson High School. He is now the head coach at T.L. Hanna High School in South Carolina. Now, the reason we talked about this after the season, Grayson, who everybody knows the whole story, they had an influx of transfer students, transfer football players, four stars, five stars, some of the biggest recruits in Georgia ended up at Grayson High School, and they caught a lot of flack for it and caught a lot of heat for it. They went through the season dominating in the state of Georgia, went all the way, won the state championship in a fantastic football game. Jeff Heron adding his fifth state championship. He's only been there 1 year. And after that state championship, when they interviewed Jeff Heron on the floor of the Georgia Dome, he said, this has been one of the toughest coaching years of my life. Now, think about that. Again, you've just won a state championship. And his exact quote was, there's been so much noise, so many distractions, so much stuff going on outside of trying to build a team. Honestly, in my whole career, this is probably the hardest coaching job that I've ever had. That's a pretty interesting comment after you've just won a state championship. Now, he said last week, however, that all of that really had nothing to do and were no part of his decision to move to T.L. Hanna. He said, and I quote, if you'd asked me in December, I might have said yes, talking about asking him if he was interested in leaving. But since December, we've come back. We've gotten the kids in the weight room. They've been great. Their parents have been great. This has been my first winter here, and I have loved being there since coming back from Christmas. It's been a really special place right now. Having said all that, he is now leaving. When you have all these transfer students to come in, I don't think so much sometimes, and I think he kind of hinted at it there when he said, we've got great parents. I don't think sometimes it's necessarily the transfer students that may end up causing the problem. It may be the parents. Parents of the transfers who are expecting big things and saying, listen, my kid's getting ready for college, and I'm bringing this four- and five-star in here, and, you know, we think we deserve some special treatment. I'm not saying that's the case because I don't know, but I could very easily see that being the case. And again, you got a coach who won with them and said it was the toughest coaching toughest coaching year of his career. I think that was a little bit telling. And Grayson's got a ton coming back. Listen, they are going to be absolutely loaded coming up in 2017. So somebody, and that's about as high profile a job as you can get. And I, of course, we're just 6 days away from it, so I don't know who has applied. I don't know who the head coach will be, but I would imagine it's going to draw some pretty good interest. But it does make sense the other reason that Jeff Heron is leaving this position, and it's simply finances. Jeff Heron has done his 30 years. He is retired as a Georgia coach. Staying at Grayson, he can earn 49% of his salary if he stayed at Grayson High School. Going to South Carolina, because he will be out of the state of Georgia, he can draw a full coaching salary. He's also going to be, by the way, the school's assistant athletics director. And he said, really, that's the reason that I'm leaving. It's a new and different challenge. He said, I didn't consider anything in Georgia this year when it came to coaching opportunities. But when this opportunity came up, they've got great facilities, a great commitment, and it's a whole lot better situation financially. Again, he said, if I were 20 years younger, I wouldn't be leaving. But at this point, it makes sense. And he's talking about the rule where if you coach 30 years, and we've had several coaches do this. We've had several coaches who have done their 30 years in Georgia and go to another state. That's happened before. We've had coaches do 30 years in another state and come to Georgia. We've seen coaches do their 30 years and then go to a private school where they're, again, it's not the same situation, so they can make a full coaching, get their full coaching salary there. So financially, it absolutely does make sense. And again, Jeff Heron's record is about as good as it gets. Five state championships, one at Oconee County, which he coached in he won that title in 1999. Three state championships at Camden County, and of course, his one season at Grayson. He also spent time at Walton, at Cedar Shoals, at Wheeler High School. And then after he left Camden County, he was the coach for 3 years at Prince Avenue Christian. His one-loss record, 287 wins and 52 losses over 27 years. That would be put up against anybody. And so, again, kind of an interesting move. But now another big-time coaching job at the state of Georgia. And I don't quite remember when we have had this many in 1 year. Remember the Buford job came open when Jess Simpson left, first for Georgia State, now taking the job with the Atlanta Falcons. Camden County job came up, another big high-profile position. So we've seen some pretty big positions in the state of Georgia, and we still got some big ones out there. Fitzgerald High School, Jason Strickland leaving a team that went to back-to-back appearances in the state championship game. That job is still open. The Grayson job is still open as well. So still some work to be done in filling all of these jobs, but the decision by Jeff Heron, when you think of the financials, it makes sense. And, of course, T.L. Hanna High School, for most people outside of the state of South Carolina, where they've been pretty good in football, 5-6 last year, so not so great. But, of course, T.L. Hanna's claim to fame, I guess, is the fact that it is the movie Radio. And most folks, I think, know that whole story about the young man who befriended the head coach there at T.L. Hanna High School, and James Radio Kennedy, who befriended Coach Harold Jones back in the 60s. They were made in great friends. It was made into a movie back in 2003, starring Cuba Gooding Jr. So that's how most folks know T.O. Hanna. Jeff Heron will know it firsthand now, and we certainly do wish him well. That's it for us on this Monday's High School Football Report presented by Cass Birch Automotive. Hope you have a fantastic week. Hey, remember to like us on Facebook and Twitter as well. It's the High School Football Report presented by Cass Birch Automotive. Hey, we'll see you next week.